All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords. And for the segment, we're joined by Adam in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena.
Happy hump day.
I didn't even realize it. Yes,
it's a Wednesday. And as a live show, I like to remind our listeners a date and time of the day. It's 8.02 a.m. in South Korea.
Ah, very precise. 8.02 going on to 8.02, 14, 15, and so on.
We can keep this up, can't we? You know, as both pet owners, and pet lovers. Yeah. I think the recent tweaks in regulations is much belated. Do you agree with some of the changes that are happening in South Korea, do you think?
I haven't been up to date on the changes. I'm a bit embarrassed.
No. It's okay. It's actually really recent. Yeah. And I'm assuming that some of our listeners might not be aware either, which is why we brought it in as a topic of discussion today. So pet in South Korea for the longest time has been stipulated as property.
Yeah.
And this becomes a big problem when there are cases reported of animal abuse. Because the consequences are just a little too, what's the right word? What's the PC way of saying not enough? Not enough. Insufficient. Yeah. And so now they're trying to change the regulation so pet is not labeled property, nor a living thing. Something in between is what they're trying to stipulate it as.
I don't know why it should be in between. It is a living thing and it is part of the family. That's my opinion anyway. And I think Korea is a lot is very behind in that.
You're right.
So and that's my two cents on it. I think that's what you were asking, right?
And I think I set you up so perfectly to answer that. That is not the purpose of the question.
Okay.
Don't be shy, folks. Give us your two cents and your stance.
Yes.
All right, should we move on to keyword news?
Yes, let's.
All right. Let's take a look at our first keyword of the day.
Fourth wave.
Korea is going through a fourth wave of COVID-19 infections with daily cases showing no signs of letting up. So let's get the latest figures and the latest.
Certainly looking scary at the moment. Daily cases hit yet another fresh high yesterday, nearing 1,700 infections. Now the figure could surpass the 1,800 mark in today's announcement of the daily figures. Now most of the cases are still concentrated in the capital area, but other parts of the nation are also seeing a surge in infections, leading to some areas, non-capital areas, implementing stricter distancing rules. Now, this is due to many people traveling outside the capital for summer vacation and to kind of skirt the level 4 distancing scheme that is currently in place here in the capital, Seoul metropolitan area. Some health experts say the level 4 rules should be extended as well because the cases just keep rising. There's no signs of abating at the moment. The Delta variant is still causing a lot of concern, and authorities are going all out to try to contain the spread of that. It is now the dominant strain in the country and a lot of other countries, which we'll get onto in a minute. Health authorities are warning that daily cases actually may rise to the mid-2000s in the middle of next month.
It seems that we might reach that milestone sooner than the estimation.
Right, because there's still a lot of people traveling as well. But they do hope that the figure will drop drastically, even down to the 600s by the end of August, if the fourth wave is brought under control. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that is the case. The resurgence comes as Korea still lacks vaccine supplies for the population as well. But more doses are coming in. Just over 186 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine arrived in Korea just a few hours ago, in fact. This is part of a deal reached directly between the Korean government and Pfizer. More batches will be coming in every week for the next few weeks as well, and along with other vaccine doses from other brands that have been coming in. But that is in the future. At the moment, we are going through this fourth wave. So this distancing and vigilance is still needed at this time.
It's required from us. That's the unfortunate truth and the uncomfortable truth. But the thing is, to feel the effects of these social distancing regulations, you need a little bit more time. So it's not reflected in the numbers, not the least. And so it does require our vigilance for the time being.
Exactly.
All right, on to our second keyword of the day.
Credit rehabilitation.
So the pandemic has left a lot of people in debt, and President Moon Jae-in is urging his government to support credit rehabilitation. So what exactly does that stipulate?
Yeah, so in a meeting with his aides, Moon asked them to come up with credit rehabilitation support measures for those with delinquent debts brought on by the pandemic. A lot of people who have suffered revenue losses for small businesses or just individuals who've lost their jobs, for example, and had to take out a loan in order to get by. Presidential spokesperson Park Kyung-mi said, said such support should be given to those who have been diligently repaying debts prior to their delinquent arrears linked with damage from the pandemic, but are finding it hard to continue to pay off their debts. Now, this is to ease the financial burden of the self-employed and small businesses, which have been hit hard by the strict social distancing restrictions, especially now. They were unable to pay their debts, they will have had their credit rating lowered pretty much through no fault of their own, unfortunately. And so Moon also vowed to expand support for the self-employed and small business owners in terms of other financial support as well. The Moon administration has been under fire, actually, for not doing enough to help these vulnerable groups. And so I think he's trying to step up those measures. Whether such support will be part of the yet-to-be-passed extra budget remains to be seen. That's where most of the criticism came from.
Because to be honest with you, I think both sides of the political spectrum agree that it's necessary to provide relief for those who are hit hardest by the pandemic, including the small, medium-sized business owners. However, where that money is going to come from and how much will be extended is a point of contention.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of tweaks that are being made or apparently being made at the moment to kind of heed the calls of the small and mid-sized business owners because the compensation of the revenue losses that they claim that have been stipulated so far, they're saying is not enough. And to actually to make matters worse, not confirmed yet though, the call for credit rehabilitation support actually comes as the Bank of Korea is actually expected to raise interest rates later this year. I mean, it hasn't yet, and it's yet to be seen, but news of it and kind of hints of a rate hike obviously will make it harder for these businesses, especially to take out loans for them to, you know, pay off their overheads and keep their business alive, basically.
All right, moving on to our third keyword of the day.
Delta dominance.
Turning to the situation in the United States now, the Delta variant is becoming more dominant. It has been the most dominant strain out of the country, however, more dominant, it seems, the headline seems to suggest. What's the latest?
Yeah, the US CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says the Delta variant now accounts for 83% of all sequenced cases in the United States. That is a dramatic increase from the week of July 3rd, when the variant accounted for about 50%. Walensky also said COVID fatalities had risen by nearly 48% over the past week to an average of 239 a day. A cluster of Midwestern and Southern states have emerged as the new hotspots. Now, with less than half of the U.S. population fully vaccinated, infection rates in places like Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, and Alabama are among the highest, with vaccination rates actually among the lowest there as well.
So it's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. There's a correlation there. Places with low vaccination rates are the places with the highest infections. Right. And Walensky actually said this low vaccination rate is allowing for the emergence and the rapid spread of the Delta variant and just COVID-19 in general at that. And she described the situation as a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
I'm not quite sure if that will convince the unvaccinated, considering the political angle that we keep going back to in the United States particularly, right?
Yeah, but science doesn't take any political sides. So
we can't stress
that
enough. Yeah. Now, things are also looking quite bad in Europe as well, with a record number of cases there. Delta seems to be spreading fast there too.
Yeah, this Delta variant is certainly causing a lot of concern worldwide. Now, according to Reuters, Europe has become the first continent in the world to surpass 50 million cases. This comes as the Delta variant is spreading fast there. Among the worst hit countries in Europe is France. Europe is seeing a million new infections about every 8 days and has reported nearly 1.3 million deaths since the pandemic began. Authorities are imposing restrictions yet again because of the resurgence. Unvaccinated people are banned from going to certain venues. Many places will also require proof of immunization and vaccination. France, because it is among the worst hit, has implemented some of the toughest measures in the continent. A health pass is required to prove immunization in a wide array of venues from the start of next month. Vaccinations are also mandatory for health workers. Proof of vaccinations will also be required for nightclubs only in the UK.
Because they have reopened nightclubs.
Right. Ironically, the UK has been going through this so-called Freedom Day, and which kicked off on Monday, which you spoke about, and amidst this rise in infections. So we'll have to see if they strengthen them amid the resurgence, but at the moment, it doesn't seem to be the case.
All right. Staying on the topic of dealing with this pandemic, what's going to happen to students? Let's take a look at our fourth keyword of the day.
Masks in school.
So going back to the United States, there's a new mask wearing guideline that have been issued for school students going back to in-person classes. So run us through the details.
Yes, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that all students over 2 years old, along with staff, wear face masks regardless of whether they have been vaccinated. The new AAP guidance actually comes less than 2 weeks after the US CDC updated their own recommendations, calling for indoor mask wearing for unvaccinated students to and up, as well as staff. Both sets of guidance focus on getting students back into the classroom for the fall. Now, despite these recommendations, many schools won't actually be able to require masks for the coming school year. South Carolina, for example, has prohibited districts from mandating masks for students or staff. In Texas, districts can't require anyone, including parents and other visitors, to wear masks as well. Meanwhile, other states are requiring the opposite. In Washington, schools must mandate masks or face coverings indoors, regardless of vaccination status. In its guidance, the AAP says it recommends universal masking because enforcing masking only for the unvaccinated students and tracking the vaccination status of students and staff might be difficult for schools to do, just to keep track of all that, the admin and the systems that need to go into place for that. The guidance provides, however, exceptions for students and staff with developmental or medical conditions that make mask wearing difficult. So there are some customized measures there. But they're basically saying all school students, vaccinated or not, should wear masks as a precaution.
All right. I mean, this might be something that the South Korean government and South Korea's education ministry might look into if it turns out to be effective.
But I don't think Korea, I think Korea will probably
encourage mask wearing.
Encourage mask wearing indoors, yes.
All right. On to our fifth keyword of the day.
Scorching heat wave.
It's quite a delivery. Your intention was to make it sound devilish. Okay.
It is.
So Korea has been under an intense heat wave lately, as are different parts of the world. But the worst is apparently yet to come, according to the country's weather watching agency. So what can we expect?
If we thought the worst hadn't already come. Well, this past week has been crazy.
I mean, brace yourselves.
Oh, it's been so hot, yeah. But Korea's weather agency says a scorching heat wave, if not one already, will hit the Korean peninsula this week. It will come after the monsoon season ends.
Which officially, according to KMA, ended yesterday.
It officially ended yesterday, so yes. It's been a hot monsoon season, a delayed one at that as well.
Sure.
Many parts of the country will see the mercury hit at least 35 degrees Celsius starting today. It will feel much hotter, of course, due to high humidity. It'll probably feel about 1 or 2 degrees hotter than it actually is. Some regions may also see temperatures reach 38 degrees. That's probably more in the south. Southern parts of the country. Now, this is due to what is known as a heat dome phenomenon, which puts Korea in a trap of hot air. It's kind of similar to a pressure cooker.
Exactly.
So it's trapping all this air and it's just making the air hotter. The KMA said it will issue more heat wave advisories and warnings nationwide as temperatures are expected to rise further in the days ahead. Many areas will also suffer from tropical night phenomenon. That's when temperatures stay above 25 degrees Celsius during the night, causing a lot of sleepless nights. So although your electricity bill will take a hit, I recommend closing those windows and putting the air conditioner on. There's actually science behind that, apparently. Apparently 23 to 24 degrees Celsius room temperature
is the ideal temperature.
So it's slightly better to sleep in a cooler environment than in a hotter one.
To get quality sleep?
Yeah, to get quality sleep.
Is this you justifying your massive electricity bill? It feels like a personal agenda.
No, I did that, and then I watched, and then I saw a study on it, and so I thought, yeah, I'm doing the right thing.
So you looked for research to justify your behavior.
Exactly. Not the other way around.
But anyhow, there is some science to that. And I think getting quality sleep is so important for a healthy life.
Exactly.
And so, yes, in our first hour, we talked about preserving the environment. But sometimes we have to make these difficult choices.
Exactly. But the worst thing is, we don't know when this heat wave will end, unfortunately.
Thank you for that, Anna. On to our sixth keyword of the day.
teacher to president.
Turning to Peru now, the country has elected rural teacher turned politician as its new president. Let's get the latest.
Yes, Pedro Castillo has been declared president-elect of Peru. He is a 51-year-old former school teacher and union leader, and he secured just over 50% of the votes. The announcement of his victory comes some 6 weeks, actually, after he won the popular vote in a tightly contested runoff election. He'll be sworn into office next Wednesday. His right-wing rival, Keiko Fujimori, actually grudgingly acknowledged defeat. She, however, continues to accuse the National Electoral Jury of election fraud. She made a series of legal challenges, hence why the official verdict was delayed those weeks. Fujimori had provided actually little evidence of her claims of election fraud, and Castillo's Free Peru Party has rejected the accusations. Now, Castillo actually burst onto the national scene 4 years ago when he led thousands of teachers on a successful strike over pay. During his presidential campaign, he pledged to nationalize Peru's lucrative mining and hydrocarbon sectors and said he would aim to create 1 million new jobs in a year. And he also proposed reintroducing the death penalty to help tackle crime. So quite a zero-tolerance stance on crime there.
All right. Peru has a new president. We'll definitely have more on the topic in the coming weeks. Thank you very much, Aaron, for today's coverage.
You're welcome.
Have a relatively cool day.
I will.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.